Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, still a long season. Still got time to win the division and set ourselves up to have a good season. I know we won in 5. Doesn't look good as far as pitcher-wise, but still got a lot of games left ahead of us. And like Coach said, we'll get some of our guys back. And, let's go see where we land.
Derrick Henry, who says, hey, there's still hope in this season, even though they're 1-5 and it's ugly. And maybe he feels hopeful because Patrick Ricard is practicing, and so he'll have his fullback back. And Lamar Jackson, for the second straight day, is practicing, though the guys covering the team seem to think he's doing similar to what he did yesterday, though he did come out on time today. So likely to be limited on the injury report again. But Ricard, let's get to the known commodity. Having Ricard back, how much does that improve Derrick Henry's as far as his day?
Well, I think they have to be more consistent running the ball. Like, and what all goes into that and how much of that is Ricard, I don't know how to suss that out, but it has to be down in, down out, more impactful. It has to be better early in games so that they can fight and claw to get the volume in the run game that it really takes for them to keep their defense off the field and to win these football games. I think Ricard is a big deal. I also think the reality for this team, the roster isn't as good as people tried to tell you it was. The depth of the roster surely ain't that good. So the only way out of this is for their blue chip players to perform like blue chip players. And they've played, what, 6 games? I'd say in half of those games, Derrick Henry was not a blue chip performer for them. He's turning the ball over on first down. He can't win for you in the pass game. He's not great in pass protection. And his flaws got magnified by the way these games were going. So he needs to be better. And frankly, from a consistency standpoint, he needs to be markedly better. And the group around him needs to be better as well. And Lamar back, Ricard back, reshuffling the offensive line. All those things should help. But like, we've talked in the past about the evolution of the offense and anybody could be the star on any given play. And, you know, is it going to be a Zay game? Is it going to be a Likely game? Is it going to be an Andrews game? Is it going to be a Bateman game? Here's the reality for them now. It needs to be a Lamar and Derrick Henry in the backfield game, like pretty much all the time. Because given what DaCosta handed them on the offensive line, it ain't going to be many Bateman games. And the Zay games are going to be underneath and crossers and shallow stuff and death by a million paper cuts and yak. But it ain't going to be over the top. And Andrews is probably out of here in a couple weeks and likely hasn't looked like himself all year. So you're asking me about blueprints to success for them and what it needs to be. It needs to be Derrick Henry looking. It ain't going to be like last year because that's never coming back. You're never going to see that again. But it needs to be pretty close to what we saw against the Rams. And it frankly, as compromised as he is, and you said it, he's still not practicing full today. So he's compromised. Yeah. As compromised as it is, if you're trying to make the playoffs, it's probably going to require Lamar to use his legs more than we've seen to this point as well.
Yeah, I agree. And frankly, having Ricard back over what's Mitchell, Payton, Mitchell, Zaire, Payton, whatever the hell his name is, guy whiffing on blocks on key situations. Instead, you get the 300-pound fullback who lays waste to people if he's out there. So that should help. The line stinks. It has done them no favors. That's true. But assuming Lamar and Ricard are back, that should all help Derrick Henry. And obviously, you want things to be as, and they're never going to be ideal, but as close to ideal as possible, and having Lamar Jackson and Patrick Ricard on the field make things better for the running game.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got to be a bell cow for them. He hasn't had the workload that we suspected in the first half of the season. And I do think if this isn't going well, then again, you're going to have to get running backs, and they've got a lot of them on the field who can help you win in the short passing game. The quick game's going to have to be Lamar's friend. And if teams do sell out and run blitz and take away some of these early down, you know, whether they be outside zone or pitch plays or power, whether if they take that stuff away from Henry or mitigate it, then yeah, they're going to have to course correct. But if this team's truly going to ever get to a point this year where they've won more games than they've lost, I have a hard time thinking they get there without Derrick Henry being a true bell cow feature back and someone who is getting the ball in his hands efficiently,
yeah,
18 to 22 times a game.
Do you think they figured something out with the zone runs that they were doing? Obviously, the Bears watch film too, so they're probably going to expect some of that to come, but it seems like they were able to unlock something against the Rams.
I don't know. I'm probably not. I mean, look, everybody knows that what these guys run, and did they emphasize certain things, and did maybe Rosengarten block it a little better than he had before? I guess, but I mean, if Ronnie Stanley's not Ronnie Stanley, or Ronnie Stanley in the second quarter of this game is, you know what I mean, walking off to the sidelines and no boom. I didn't say that. You did.
No, I did.
I just said, for whatever reason, if he's walking to the sidelines or hobbled or whatever, being hauled off, then no, I don't think they're going to be able to run outside zone and pitch plays to the left side of the field all that effectively. I don't think the off-tackle runs with Joe Noteboom are going to be particularly effective, whether it's Derrick Henry or Justice Hill, yeah, or whatever, or maybe the occasional speed burst from Keaton Mitchell. I think they need to figure out their offensive line before I'm willing to say that anything's truly sort of turned around or been fixed. And we'll see. I mean, look, Ronnie Stanley apparently practicing fully. That's a big
deal. Yes, yes. Lamar Jackson being on the field, assuming he's on the field, should help the read option, though, right? Like, if he's there, at least until they think he's not running, they're going to be preparing like he's going to run.
He can sell it. He can obviously play with the mesh point. How often is he keeping it? I don't know. Again, I think that's going to be part of the required assignment,
mm-hmm,
to get them out of this hole, but it might not make sense to some people involved in that for a whole bunch of different reasons. And there's a lot of people involved in calling those plays and adjusting those plays and blocking those plays and then ultimately deciding whose gut that ball actually goes in or stays in or whatever. So that'll be something that we'll obviously be monitoring closely on Sunday afternoon.
We got a big Thursday show, obviously. The World Series starts tomorrow. NBA is back. The NFL, Thursday Night Football time. So we got a lot going on in the world of sports and quite an interesting scandal in the NBA. We'll get to that in a little bit. But guest-wise on today's show, as the World Series begins tomorrow, we'll talk baseball with our friend Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. at 2:30. Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger joins us at 3. We'll get his thoughts on the potential return of Lamar Jackson. And our friend from DraftKings, Lucy Burge, at 4.
Yeah, Thursdays are always fun around here. Can't wait for the World Series to start. Obviously, MLB offseason, we've seen some interesting hires in some other places. We'll take Tony's temperature on all that. Baldy, yes, we will dig down on this Bears-Ravens matchup, but probably ask him a little bit about the Chargers tonight, how the other Harbaugh gets out of the hole they've dug. Always a lot going on this time of year in the NFL. We will take a closer look at this Bears defense and where it's vulnerable. Again, Derrick Henry should like what he's seeing on film and what he's seeing on the stat sheets. And the coordinators talk today.
Yeah, Monk.
Very interested for monkey business.
Yeah. Are we counting down monkey businesses again? Or we
no.
Because he's probably here to stay. Is that what we're thinking?
If they don't make the playoffs, I don't know that. If they didn't want to hire him before.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lamar's winning MVPs. I'm not sure they're going to hire him now.
So they're safe with Todd Monken, unless they decide to go in a different direction coaching-wise. Alas, Derrick Henry, the run game. Well, some of that depends on that Bears defense. And just how good is that Bears defense? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think, you know, they come in bunches, and these guys, we've got a method in place of how we want to practice it. You know, Dennis does a great job with instilling that confidence in those guys, putting them in the right spot. When the ball touches their hands, they're coming down with it. We really don't have many drops on that side of the ball. They're very conscious of it when it's a running play to try to punch at that ball and get it out. And so, you know, it's just really working for us right now, and really our team needs it. I mean, it's really been the foundation of this last four-game stretch for us.
It's Ben Johnson, referring to Dennis Allen as defensive coordinator, talking about the defense and the takeaways. They've gotten 15 takeaways in the last four games, Jason. And this is a team, Montez Sweat, you may know from his time with the Commanders. They gave Tremaine Edmonds, we talked to Brad Biggs the other day and reminded us about Tremaine Edmonds. They gave him a bunch of money after they let Roquan, they traded Roquan here. They have two corners that are banged up. Obviously, Jalen Johnson will not be playing, and we'll see about Tyreek Stevenson. He's questionable. So what do you think of this defense?
Well, it has some flaws. It has some faults. It is the quintessential bend, don't break. But they're winning third down, and as you heard Ben Johnson there, they're dominating takeaways, and that's really been the difference maker for them. Offensively, Caleb Williams has cut down on the turnovers. They've only turned the ball over 5 times in 6 games. They've turned their opponents over 16 times. That plus 11 margin is 3 better than anybody else in the NFL. That's a massive gap this early in the season. So a plus 11 turnover margin, is it sustainable? I don't know. For our purposes, we just need to see if it's sustainable for one more week or not. That's what they've been able to do. Turning people over on third down has helped them be the number 3 third down defense in the NFL. It's pretty remarkable. The Bears' interception rate, they're picking off 6.4% of opposing passes. The league average is 2%. The next highest team is Jacksonville at 3.9%. The Bears are at 6.5%. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And look, they face some bad quarterbacks. Some of this is just sort of luck or the football gods. But it is worth noting that that's been a calling card for them, and they've got some momentum there. And Lamar hasn't, not only has he not played in a while, he's not really practicing fully either. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep an eye on. But look, there are some areas where this defense is clearly deficient. Like you mentioned Sweat, but they're not overloaded with pass rushing options. They're a below average team in sack rate and pressure rate. They're bottom 5 in the NFL in red zone defense. So they can be had. And I mentioned bend don't break. You can run on them all day long. At least to this point, you've been able to. They're giving up 5.3 yards per carry. That's second worst in the NFL. Only Buffalo's worse, and well, we know these guys
are all Buffalo.
They're 22nd in the league in defense, rush defense success rate, if you're new onto those metrics a little bit more. They're allowing 6.2 yards per play overall. That is last in the NFL. They're allowing 350 total yards per game. That is 29th in the NFL. And you can also take your shots on them downfield. 7.4 net yards per attempt, 28th in the NFL. But I think it's really your ability to bully them on the ground a little bit and get heavy with them and push them around on the ground. That's something that I'm sure Dennis Allen wants to fix. And given how little Lamar's played, and given that we don't really know, again, what exactly is going on with Likely. Mm-hmm. And Bateman's just there running decoy patterns to nowhere. And Ricard is back.
Yes.
And you've had 2 weeks to figure out your offensive line. Again, this all just points me to the sort of tenor of the setup of the show.
Sure, sure.
Where I think you want to run the ball with some volume against them and see if they can hold up.
If they don't hold up, isn't it possible, though, that, assuming it's Lamar, if it's the other two guys, then forget the question, but is it possible that this is a game where you could unlock Bateman on some play action because their corners are probably not, they're going to have backup corners in there. If you're having success in the run game, that is a way to get some time in the pass game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lamar's back. I don't think we'll know exactly what that looks like till we see it, or you know, how limited or not limited he is. Absolutely. I mean, if you're pushing them around, running I formation stuff under center with the fullback leading the way, and then you decide you want to throw deep shots out of some of that stuff, it's worked expertly.
Yeah.
For this team in the past. So yeah, I mean, it all makes sense on paper. And the strength of this Bears team has been their offense and their ability to turn people over defensively. We know the Ravens are having their difficulties winning the turnover battle. We know they're having difficulty turning other people over. And we also know that Derrick Henry had never really fumbled in his career until a couple weeks this year.
Yeah.
I still think that's not necessarily the new norm. So it's just another sort of piece of anecdotal evidence that would point you towards, with Ricard back, keep it simple, stupid.
You really dig into the numbers. It's one of the things that I'm so impressed with you, and you do it for multiple angles, including gambling, which you guys have been on a heater with the wannabet thing. Is there anything you like about this defense other than their ability lately to create turnovers?
I mean, it's kind of like Jacksonville. They're going to live by the sword and die by the sword. And I don't think it's an incredibly deep defense. I think they're buying what Dennis Allen is selling, and he's brought a little bit of a different energy to them. I think they were sick of running Eberflus's defense, which was pretty much just, you know, we're going to play a whole lot of cover two, and we're not going to gamble much at all.
It's not fun.
Oh, it's not. I think he's letting their instincts fly a little bit here. And when you go someplace new and you have immediate success and everybody's creating turnovers and everybody's a part of game-changing plays, then it just breeds more of a buy-in. So with them, I think it's more, I hate using the term, but I think it's more culture than it is,
yeah,
anything that the advanced analytics are going to say. I mean, you just try to think about, okay, well, why are they creating this many turnovers? Why is their interception rate three times the league average? And okay, well, yeah, they've faced some teams where, you know, the quarterback's not particularly good. But no, I. There are worse times you could be catching the Chicago Bears than right now, when they've won four straight games for the first time in forever, and a defense that is undermanned is on an absolute takeaway heater.
Is it possible that turnovers are contagious? Like the Ravens had that run a couple years ago, and they ended up leading the league in turnovers. It feels like 15 in the last four games, Jason.
Yeah, and doing it without your shutdown corner. Yes. It is. I mean, guys are more willing to do that extra thing to try to pry that ball loose. And they have a belief that if they do, somebody from their team is going to be the first one to it. Like, turnovers, look, I mean, there is a hustle element to it. There is an effort element to it. And I think there's a little bit of a football IQ element to it. Why did the Patriots throughout their dynasty, especially at home, have such a ridiculous takeaway margin? I mean, was it Ernie Adams and the Dark Secrets?
Like, yeah.
Was it the league office and Big Brother, you know, overruling a potential fumble here or there? I mean, maybe some of that, but I also think it became embedded in what it meant to play for Bill Belichick's defenses. So, I'm not a huge Dennis Allen guy. I don't ever want him as my head coach. That's for damn sure. But they have caught a little bit of lightning in the bottle here. And I think, again, it's an interesting time to face the Ravens because I think you're going to be facing an offense that gets out there. And that the 11 who were on the field for most of the snaps probably haven't practiced together or played together in a while.
For what it's worth, and looking at one book, Vegas still has the Ravens -6.5. So I guess they assume Lamar Jackson's playing, and they like the Ravens at home.
I also think, again, I haven't looked at the handle, and I don't get too into those stats, but I'm guessing this has not been one of the heavier bet games yet because people are waiting to see what the Thursday and Friday injury report looks like just for further clarification on Lamar. So I think part of the reason it's just sat at 6.5 is because I think a lot of people are, frankly, just not making their wagers on this game yet.
Coming up next, we switch to baseball. The Fall Classic starts tomorrow. Game one of the World Series, Dodgers at the Blue Jays. We will talk to Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Who does he like and why? We'll ask him next here on the
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The World Series begins tomorrow night in Toronto. Dodgers at Blue Jays. It's a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Tony, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So I want to look back before we look ahead. The Seattle Mariners, with an opportunity just to win one more game and go to the World Series themselves for the first time ever, and the decision in Game 7 to go to Bizzardo when he had Munoz out there. I'm just curious your thoughts of the way Dan Wilson handled Game 7.
I mean, you know, from my perspective, I'm always one that is always going to lean towards the manager's decision, only because, you know, they know what's going on in that locker room. They know who's right. Bizzardo had been good for them pretty much all playoffs. But it's hard not to, I guess, Monday quarterback that decision when you had a guy like Munoz that was seemingly pretty fresh that you didn't go to. But ultimately, Dan's going to be the one that has to live with the decision one way or another. If he's comfortable with it, that's ultimately all that matters. He's going to get – this is part of the business, right? When you are a manager and you're making these decisions, especially under this microscope, if it goes wrong, you should expect this.
Well, speaking of decisions that could be second-guessed in real time or certainly will strike some as unusual, and it's piqued my interest, and I'm actually kind of here for it because at least it's not groupthink. And obviously, you're following these managerial searches, given what's going on in your backyard. What do you think of what the Giants did?
I got to tell you, I don't know that it's going to work,
right?
But it's going to be exciting to watch unfold. I don't know how you can come to a different conclusion. I mean, so often, I mean, you see articles written, people talking about all the recycled names that keep coming up. Well, here's Buster Posey thinking outside the box a little bit. And listen, in the same way Dan Wilson going to the right or wrong reliever was going to be questioned, this one's going to be under a microscope too. I think it could turn out wonderful, and you bet your bottom dollar if it does, you'll see a slew of teams start to try to copy that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here for it. I want to see how this is going to turn out.
We're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. World Series, as we mentioned, starts tomorrow. Blake Snell on the mound for the Dodgers. Trey Savage going to pitch for the Blue Jays, not Kevin Gausman. What do you think of that decision?
It makes sense to me. Those guys on that Dodgers side have seen a lot of Gausman. Remember, he was a Giant before. And if I recall, they had some pretty good success against him. And so and it's a lot of the same characters are in that lineup. And so I just think this is an idea where guys on that Dodger lineup haven't had the kind of looks that they've had at Gausman. So I'm not surprised. You want to try to get game one and get ahead, and I can see why they went with your Savage over Gausman.
Can you concoct a script here where it leads to the Blue Jays being one game better, or maybe more than one game better than the Dodgers?
I can come up with I mean, the Blue Jays offense continues to swing and put up runs in the way that we've seen them do so far. Of course, that is a different task when you're dealing with the type of starting pitching that the Dodgers are going to throw at you. And so if the Blue Jays win this series, you can book it. It's going to be because their offense has been able to keep up the type of pace that they've had thus far. I just don't think a lot of people think that that's possible with facing this Dodger rotation the way that it's been thrown to baseball.
Well, and you wouldn't be able to speak to this better than most, having played the game at as high of a level as you played it, but the Blue Jays' superpower is putting the ball in play. But, I mean, when you've got Snell looking like, I mean, Snell and Ohtani and Yamamoto and Glasnow all seemingly at peak form with the kind of swing and miss put away stuff they have, doesn't defense beat offense? Like, we all like Seattle's pitching staff, but let's be real. Those kids and Castillo were getting slapped around by a Tigers lineup that nobody thought that much of. You know what I mean? Let alone the Blue Jays. Like, this just seems to me to be quite a jump in weight class in terms of the pedigree of pitcher they're going to face.
Right. It would become the defense, but I think we're all pretty certain that Toronto doesn't have that kind of firepower to keep it like a defensive type series. And so that is the conundrum. And that's why I'm saying, ultimately, the Blue Jays' best chance is to continue to slap around good pitching as we've seen them do. This is just elite pitching, the way they've been throwing. I don't know that we've seen any pitcher throw the ball the way we've seen Blake Snell throw it in this postseason. I mean, he's been pretty much unhittable. I think the thing you hung your hat on is that, maybe Yamamoto, maybe Glasnow aren't on top of it, and you can maybe sneak a cup. They've also been awesome. And so the Blue Jays' best shot is for Vlad to have the best postseason we've ever seen and the rest of those guys get on board and be able to put some runs up.
What do you expect, if anything, from Bo Bichette in this series? They're saying he's going to play. He has not played in a while.
I don't know about you guys. It feels like an iffy I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is a no-brainer. He's out there, which would lead me to believe that he's not fully healthy yet. He's going to give it a go. As a player, you don't know how many opportunities you're going to be in this position. So no matter what, you're going to try to get into the series. But it's just too hard to tell how effective he's going to be. As you get into the series, especially a knee sprain, I mean, everything you do is going to be affected. So if he's not healthy, how productive can he be in this series? I think that remains to be seen.
Is there something to be read into the fact that so many teams have been in anything but a hurry to hire their manager. Like, you could say, okay, well, what's a manager going to do in October? I mean, and I get it, but I mean, we've been around a minute. It doesn't,
yeah.
And it's not just because they're waiting for the World Series to be over. I don't buy that whatsoever. And it's not because they all want to hire somebody who's on Schneider's staff or somebody who's on Robert's staff, because you've had a crack at most of those guys before, and maybe one of them gets a job somewhere, but that's it. And there's a lot of openings. Is the industry telling us just how much managers have been sort of devalued?
Maybe. Maybe. I think there's a lot of different circumstances kind of rolling around. I do think I know the Padres, speaking on that standpoint, they're going to do their due diligence. They've said so. They're going to take their time with this. And, you know, with the possible strike looming, you know, a year mm-hmm. from now, I think that kind of complicates things. But, you know, I think we've all kind of felt like managers have been devalued over time for so long anyway. So I don't know that it would be anything new
yeah.
in terms of teams trying to, you know, keep the price down, suppress the numbers down and things of that nature. But it is awkward to me. I will agree that we haven't even really heard too many rumors about managers going different places.
Tony, we haven't seen teams confirming interviews, which tells me interviews aren't even happening.
Right, right. I mean, Pujols is really the only name that we've heard outside of Vitello signing with the Giants. And that is something that is not the norm.
Before we let you go, Tony, the last time Shohei Ohtani was on a baseball field, he had the greatest postseason performance of all time, 3 homers and 6 scoreless innings, 10 strikeouts. So what does Shohei do for an encore here in the World Series?
I don't know. You know what's funny is I tried to hate on the performance initially. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Pujols, I believe he hit 3 homers in a while in a World Series.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. Pujols didn't throw 6 innings. 6 innings of shutout, 10 strikeouts. So I don't know what else this dude can do. At this point, maybe a 4th homer, maybe a complete game with double-digit punchies. That's really left. I mean, that's really the only thing left at this point. So he's just been phenomenal. That's my dog. Sorry about my dog.
That's all good.
He's been phenomenal down the stretch. And listen, he tends to step up in the biggest moments. So, I mean, the World Series is as big as it gets.
Tony Gwynn Jr., always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We'll chat next week.
All right, you guys take care.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger is the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just up by. Hey, Brian Baldinger is going to join us coming up at 3. But next, all the young dudes. And what about Dylan Beavers? What did we think of his season? It wasn't a full season, but what could we glean from what we saw? And what do we expect to see from him next year? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
You know, so good. We're kind of kicking around in the 8th inning, whether to bunt him or not. I think it's the 7th or the 8th. You know, and it was hard to take the bat out of his hands in that spot, especially with kind of where we were at in the lineup and just the whole situation. But, you know, it's a compliment to him that, you know, a rookie player in that situation, 3 guys right there, it's a unanimous, let him swing the bat. You know, so that situation right there goes down 0-2, pretty good arm right there on the mound. Lays off some tough, I think they're changeups right there. Then gets himself in a fastball count. Guy's got to throw a heater in that count, and he just whips that thing around down the line. That's not easy to do. I don't know what the final pitch was, but I think the one before it was 98. So he's been impressive. You know, we're very proud of him.
That's Tony Manzalino, interim skipper, and is right now, I guess, still the skipper of the Baltimore Orioles. We shall see. But talking about Dylan Beavers, after he had a game-winning hit, Dylan Beavers impressed us in limited action. Only played in 35 games, only 110 at-bats, but he hit 4 homers, drove in 14, walked 26 times in 35 games.
He showed an approach, a patience, a diligence, because some of this is fighting to get yourself in counts and not burying yourself by being overly eager early in counts. He showed a maturity that, frankly, was far advanced to a lot of the guys who've been around here for 2-plus years or more and who came into the major leagues with a whole hell of a lot more fanfare than Dylan Beavers. In fact, it almost sickened me because it was so clear from the onset that he actually was one of the few who looked like they were the product of an elite hitting incubator that we know is non-existent. He had a quality of major league at-bat that's been sorely lacking around here for a long time. It looked like some of Aaron Hicks' old at-bats. And it started from the beginning, and it didn't fade. And it wasn't the biggest sample size, but it also shocked me, again, and sickened me by the same token, because you can hear Manzolino acknowledge it there, but they never really bought into it because they didn't give him a chance to lead off, and they didn't move him up the lineup very often. And they almost seemed to think it was either sleight of hand or somewhat fugazi, or the people who control the lineups, and it's not the puppet skipper, it's Mike Elias, the people who control the lineups are playing games in that they really, really are invested in some kids, Jackson Holliday, who they will play politics with, and we saw it with Adley for years as his career went down the drain, will continue to get opportunities and will continue to sort of make the team pay the freight from overemphasizing people who aren't doing the job for large swaths of time and not acknowledging or recognizing those who are. And that's been going on here a long time. And it's pretty shameful. And I hope Dylan Beavers gets a real chance to continue this in the regular season next year as a leadoff guy, because he's the only thing I've seen around here in the 4 or 5 years that their major league product's supposed to have mattered under Elias that actually looks like it. Like, even Gunner, yeah, you could do it, but he's so damn important, and they have so few other hitters. You really probably need people on base around him. If Westberg could stay healthy and get on base more, like, there was a point in time you could have sold me on him because he's fast enough and athletic enough. And boy, he looked like in the minors he was going to get on base a lot, but it doesn't happen. This kid went out and got on base 43% of the time in the International League, which doesn't happen. And then he came to the majors and got on base 40 or more percent of the time. And his reward for that most nights was to hit 6th, 7th, or 8th.
What fascinated me about him was it reminded me of when Adley first came up, the way he worked counts. Like, we talked a lot, and you know, you mentioned the hitting incubator and whether or not they actually have one, because none of these guys do this anymore. But when Adley first came up, he worked counts. He was a guy that made pitchers work. None of these guys make pitchers work anymore, but Dylan Beavers did, and it was frankly refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's things that they can do. Again, they have zero feel, understanding, or acknowledgement of the human element and all this. But there are ways to get kids to buy in even more, and there are ways to get kids to feel like they're being validated. You should have just left him in right field as soon as he started having some issues and left. That would have made life easier for him, and you should have moved him up the lineup, and you should have given him more of an opportunity to lead off. He's way more experienced and accomplished in terms of professional at-bats. I'm not saying major league at-bats, but professional at-bats than Jackson Holliday. He runs the bases exponentially better than Jackson Holliday. He has a better feel for the game and a baseball IQ that is exponentially higher than Jackson Holliday. I don't think he'll lead off. I think when their puppet manager told you that Jackson Holliday is our leadoff hitter into perpetuity, you know, into 2030 or whatever, I think that's coming right from his Bobo boss. So that is what it is, I guess. But this kid, and I told you, I always believed in this kid. I thought this kid, kind of like Stowers, think he's way better than your stupid algorithms think he is. And he should have been here sooner. He should have been here sooner. We should have learned a little bit more about him. But then, again, that's on them, because they have zero feel for how to develop players and how to move them along from the minors to the majors, and then how to reward them when worthy at the major league level. Unless they're a 1-1, in which case you'll just continue to get opportunities even when you look horse bleep.
He is the one guy that is here that, and obviously Tyler O'Neill is going to be, he's going to pick
up
his
stuck with him.
Yeah, but he's going to be.
Like our buddy Bowden said, you better hope Tyler O'Neill opts out.
Yeah, well, he won't be. But like, Dylan Beavers is one guy that you're writing in pen for, like, when you think about the opening day lineup.
He's the only outfielder they have.
Yeah, like.
I'm saying that about a kid with, what, 100-something plate appearances, but like.
110.
He's the closest thing to a real outfielder They have.
Yeah,
so good luck with that.
He did nothing but impress in the 35 games he played. And by the way, you know, him and Sam Bassaio, and it wasn't all peaches and cream, but they added an energy in that last month that was not there before the two of them got there.
And both had their momentum stifled by idiotic managerial and general manager decisions about how they played, when they played, and where they played repeatedly. It happened repeatedly. We pointed it out in real time repeatedly as it happened, which is striking considering they weren't here that long.
Coming up next, we get back to football. And the Ravens, Lamar Jackson on the practice field. We'll ask Brian Baldinger, can the Ravens go on a run? Can they work themselves back in the AFC North? Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger joins us next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.